thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
Aaron's going to come and read the Bible for us. It's in Matthew chapter 5, if you'd like to follow along in your own version or on your phone, as I will.
You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to church. It's good to have you here. I'm excited to be in church. I'm going to open the Bible that I stole off Mark Rader. Thank you. Well, I love this series, Jesus in the City Morning Herald. It ticks a lot of boxes for me, and it's super exciting getting to preach from it. And the most difficult thing, I reckon, with this is deciding what to preach on. Like, I mean, this is a little bit of homework for you this week. Have a little flick through your social media or, you know, the Herald, even if you get it old school, and think, what would I preach on? Because it is a hard decision to make. But as I was praying through what God wanted me to bring tonight, this thing jumped out at me. And it wasn't in the Sydney Morning Herald, but it was a story about an American comedian called Sarah Silverman, who some of you might have heard of. And she's this American comedian. She is brash and vulgar, and she's an atheist with a Jewish background. She doesn't like Christians. A lot of her humor is pretty ugly, yeah? And she's really confrontational, and she's the sort of person that you watch as a Christian. You go, oh, should I be laughing at this? I don't know if I should be laughing at this, but, you know, anyway, you do. She's active on social media and she gets lots of people commenting. And last week, or actually a week ago, an interaction that she had on Twitter hit the headlines. And this is basically what happened. She'd put a comment, as she does, about Donald Trump, and people started sharing about Donald Trump. And one guy responded to her with one word. And the word was a rude word. It was an insult. Let's say it started with the letter C. Okay? All right? Good. Got it. Let's move on. So she's got this horrible insult flung at her. And now she has to decide, well, what am I going to do with that? And, you know, she's got some options. It's Twitter, for goodness sake. She could have ignored it or blocked him or reported him to, you know, Twitter. But instead, she did something really remarkable that made it hit the headlines. She checked out his profile, his Twitter profile, and found that he was suffering from a really bad back. And he was trying to raise the princely sum of $150 on his GoFundMe to get his back looked at. And he didn't even have the money to get it treated. He just needed like a diagnosis. And so she found that out, and she found he's practically bedridden. And she replied back with these words, and I think they're going to come up maybe on the screen, maybe, if they can. Oh, excellent. She said this, I believe in you. I read your timeline and I see what you're doing, and your rage is thinly veiled pain. But you know that. I know this feeling. My back, beep, sucks too. See what happens when you choose love. I see it in you. Sarah reached out and responded with kindness, and it would have been so much easier to do the opposite. And the man, who was at Jeremy Jamruzzi, was a Twitter user in San Antonio in Texas. And he replied and he started opening up to Sarah about his problems. Just from that lovely little reach, instead of building a wall, she built a bridge. She reached over and he started opening up, and it turned out he'd actually been a victim of abuse in his childhood, and he was still living with a burden and emotional rage that gave him every day. And he tweeted back to her. He says, I can't choose love, and he speaks about the abuse. I can't find peace, and if I could find the guy, and he talks about the abuser, I'd kill him. And I'm so poor and it's hard to get help. Well, Silverman engaged further and she empathised with him and she suggested he try out a support group. She said, good, I want to kill him too. So I can't imagine your rage. All I know, she said, is this rage, even if you could kill him, it's punishing yourself. You don't deserve punishment. You deserve support. Go to one of these support groups, she said. You might meet your best bro there. This response from Sarah is just grace and compassion itself. She told him she believed in him. He was almost bedridden, but it didn't even stop there. She kept going and she befriended him and then she gave a shout out to anyone in his local community and she said, hey, San Antonio, can anybody help? And so his GoFundMe, which he needed $150, got 10 times the amount. And then she had back specialists contacting this guy and giving him appointments and she ended up paying for a lot of his treatment. And now he's in the position where he's had so much money donated that he has a surplus and he's using that surplus amount to help other people in his position. What a turnaround. Well, that little interaction over the course of a day and a bit, it hit the headlines. And traditional and social media called it a masterclass in compassion. And it is. And it's been really incredible to watch the response as a Christian because we see things through our Christian lens. And the thing that struck me the most and what I wanted to bring and share with you guys is that often you see people who have no knowledge of God, no acknowledgement of God whatsoever, putting the teachings of Jesus into practice and lo and behold, they work. God does something. Now, she is not a God-fearer by any stretch of the imagination, but I think we can learn something through that interaction. Now, Aaron read for us Matthew 5, and this is the famous love your enemies verse. Jesus is teaching crowds, he's at the Sermon on the Mount, and he takes this traditional verse, it's well known from the beginning of the Bible from Leviticus, and he twists it. And he says these words, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. Well, the Israelites had heard love your neighbour for ages, and that was kind of shocking at the time they'd heard it because you could put up with your neighbour and you could live alongside your neighbour. But God, back in the Old Testament, said, I want you to treat your neighbour and love them as you love yourself. I mean, I don't know about you. I've got lovely neighbours, but I don't treat them as I treat myself. You know, I treat them nicely, but I treat myself a bit better. Well, Jesus says, no, don't just love your neighbour and hate your enemy. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I reckon as Christians, sometimes we get a bit immune to what Jesus is saying there. We lose the shock value. And I want to tell you a story about what happened last year is in my year two scripture class. My lovely little year twos. We did this Bible passage as part of our story. And one of the ways I taught it was I left the sentence blank. So I said, okay, what do you think it's going to be? Jesus says to blank our enemies. What do you think it is, year two kids? What is Jesus going to say that we should do to our enemies? And being year two, and a lot of boys, was like, kill them. We should kill our enemies. And they really, you know, thought, yeah, that would be great. And then I thought, okay, well, that's probably not in the Bible. Maybe we should put them in prison. So we should imprison our enemies. And then they'd figured, okay, they've been hearing about this Jesus guy for a little while. So Jesus was nice. And what it should probably be is to ignore them. And they all agreed that that would be the thing to do. And that sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds reasonable. Ignore your enemies. It's good advice. So when we actually opened the Bible and I read to them the words that Jesus said, that Jesus says to love their enemies, they were shocked. They were gobsmacked. They're like, what? What? Who could do that? We know who could do it, don't we? God who loves his enemies. And I want us to be shocked anew by the teaching of Jesus, because Sarah Silverman, even though she'd probably heard this, but it's not what she thought of when she reached out to Jeremy of San Antonio, she was actually putting that teaching into tangible practice when she reached out. Now, if he'd called her a rude word and if she just, you know, she could have escalated it. She could have added fuel to the fire and it would have turned into a nasty Twitter spat. But because she reached out with love and compassion and grace, I thought, do you know what? How much more could we, as people who have the Holy Spirit in us, who are listening to the prompts of the Holy Spirit, how much more could God use us if we put the practical teaching of Jesus to love our enemies into practice? How much more could God do through us if we take that seriously? Now, I've got three things to say, but before I say the three things, I do want to just flag one thing. This is an amazing example of Sarah using her power for good. And she is powerful, there's no doubt about it. She's got this massive social media platform. She's got money. She's got fans. She's successful. She's well-known. She's on TV. She could have taken this guy's rude insult and she could have demolished him. She could have wiped the floor with him and used her power to make herself feel good. She didn't do that. And what he did was not bullying. What he did was trolling, okay? So as I'm going to talk about this, I want to say that I'm not talking about bullying. And we know about bullying because it's a huge big thing at the moment. And bullying is not a one-off thing. It's a repeated, sustained attempt to bring you down and make you feel inferior. And we know that it's wrong, and schools and unis and workplaces are really attuned to that now. So as you're listening to this, don't think it's bullying, and don't think that bullying is not serious, because it is, and organisations have ways and means to call that behaviour out and deal with it when it's repeat. If you're not under the umbrella of an organisation and you're receiving bullying from any area, there are places you can go, for example, Kids Matter if you're a young person, or Beyond Blue, the police if it gets threatening. Just want to shout out for Southern Community Welfare if you're experiencing any sort of bullying. Southern are very well placed to help you and they would love to do so. So as I talk, I just want you to know that self-protection is important and safety online is important. And I'm saying this and I'm well aware of my age in talking to you about online safety, because I'm literally from a generation that we were told, do not get into cars with strangers. And then when the internet became a thing, we were told, do not meet people online in chat rooms. It's dangerous. And I'm talking to a room filled with people who literally summon strangers from the internet for the express purpose of getting into their car. Okay? So I'm aware it's uber strange to me, but that's okay. But safety first, everyone. So just responding in a normal way, how do we respond in a way that Jesus would be pleased with? Well, the first thing I want to say, the word is recognizing. Sarah looked at this Jeremy guy and she recognized something. She disregarded the evil and hateful thing he had said to her, but she didn't disregard him. She didn't disregard him as an individual. She had some sort of X-ray vision, and she was, his Twitter feed perhaps, and she was able to look through and see that where he was coming from was a place of pain or low self-esteem. And I want to say that one of the most important things I've learned is that hurt people hurt people. And you know that yourself because you would have experienced that. And she recognized that hurt people hurt people. And he was coming from a place of pain and he was trying to make himself feel good at her expense, and you might have had that too. We don't often have the luxury of seeing people's backstories and seeing, you know, like they don't have a trail of tweets following after them in the air so we can, you know, psychoanalyze them on the spot, and we shouldn't anyway. But knowing that hurt people can often help separate the person from their behaviour. We need to recognise that if somebody's hurting you, it may be that they have issues, and we need to judge them not by their behaviour but by who they are and through the eyes of Christ. There's an old saying that a dog with a wound is dangerous and they'll bite, and I think this can apply to people. Well, it goes two ways. Sarah received a wound, I suppose a hurt, from this guy. But it can go two ways, because we also can say and do stupid stuff. We can say things that hurt others. And it might not be because we're particularly like hurt or damaged. It might just be that we're sinful. We live in a world which is soaked in sin. Our world is fallen and it's marred and it's not what it should be. And sometimes we or other Christian people will say things that are hurtful or cruel or inappropriate. But what really matters is not only that we can recognise that hurt people, but it's also the way we respond. And someone gets a bomb and lobs it at you, lobs an insult or lobs a pain bomb at you, there's a bunch of ways we can respond when we're hurt by people. Yeah, the bomb arrives, we can pick it up and we can go, oh yeah, well you're up, beep, and throw the bomb back at them, which escalates the situation. We could run away. We could run away and take cover. We can let it explode and hurt us. Or we can defuse the bomb. And there's a fantastic proverb in Proverbs 15:1. And it says this. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath. And I've been in that situation, and you might have too. Perhaps it's a road rage moment where you know that if somebody lobs a bomb at you and you don't defuse it, it's just going to get ugly. It's going to get worse. And it can be really difficult not to retaliate when somebody insults you or brings you down or says something about you. It can be so difficult. And we need to, in that moment, just cry out to God and ask God to give you that gentle answer. One of the reasons it can be so difficult is because we might be in the right. We might actually be innocent. We might have done the right thing. We might have taken the right steps, been completely innocent, and someone's lobbed this bomb at us and we've got this hot mess that is on us, and we can feel so right and correct in fighting and defending ourselves and standing up and escalating the situation or cutting that person off completely and running away. Sometimes, caveat, we might actually need to move away from certain people though. But we can get so offended. How dare they? How very dare they? We can say. And we cling on to our offense like it's going to help. It doesn't help. Well, you can't control somebody else's words or behavior, but you can, through the grace of God, control your response. And our ability to respond, that's our responsibility. It's in the word, responsibility. That's our responsibility. Theirs, we don't know about. Can't deal anything with that. If we want to act like Jesus says and love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that might mean disarming and diffusing a situation and being a peacemaker. James 3:18 says that peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. With our offense, we might need to let go of being the one who comes up shining, the one who comes out with all the power. We might need to let go of winning, because I'm here to tell you tonight that it doesn't matter to God how right you are, but what matters to God is how righteous you are. It doesn't matter to God how right you are. It matters to God how righteous you are, because God is interested in forming us into his image. He's interested in changing our hearts and our lives and making us more like Jesus, so we can act more like Jesus, so we can change the world like Jesus. We have this new reality we're living in, because God is building a kingdom of sons and daughters, and he doesn't need you to be horrible. He needs you to be holy. And Jesus wouldn't lob the bomb back. He'd tell you to probably turn the other cheek. And I think he needs some Christians who are committed to de-escalation policies. And it's really easy to be hard on others and easy to be easy to ourselves. I don't know about you, but I judge others by their worst impulses, and I judge me by my best intentions. I do. Well, Sarah had all this happen, and it all played out on Twitter. And I think she's an example of loving her enemies. You might say, well, it played out on Twitter. It's public. You know, didn't Jesus in the very next chapter, in chapter 6, say that when you do your acts of righteousness, don't share it with anyone. Don't go and blow your horn to tell people how great you are. And that's true. And it did happen on social media. So when we're loving our enemies, Jesus doesn't expect us to make a really big deal of it like Sarah did. The third thing I want to say is that Jesus is attractive. You know, after this little interaction she changed the course of this guy's life. She really did. Her name was splashed all over social media, and this is what people were saying. They said, it's a masterclass in compassion. Sarah's kind response will make you smile. She responds to an attack in a perfect way, and the response is giving everyone hope. Sarah didn't know she was, you know, basically obeying Jesus when she helped, but she did somehow. And people lapped it up. They absolutely loved it. And there's a verse that is from Romans 1:16. It says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Well, I'm going to say we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel, but we don't need to be ashamed of Jesus either. Here we have this situation where an ungodly, brash person took the words of Jesus, put them in practice, and it was lauded and applauded and played out on social media all over the world. You know, Jesus is attractive. His teaching is attractive. As a public figure, he's countercultural. He's revolutionary. This Jesus, he's subversive. He subverts the way things are and turns them upside down. He is business as unusual. He's attractive and his message is attractive. And guess what? It works. And the early church found this out, those following the lifestyle of the way. And they started loving people and turning the other cheek. People were confounded by it. Couldn't believe it was happening, but they were appreciated of this love in action. They appreciated every part of it. And I want to say tonight, don't be embarrassed by Jesus, because he is just what this world needs. He's the only thing this world needs. So listen to the words of Jesus again. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. Sarah, near the end of her tweets, she gave a shout out to people in Jeremy's local area. And there might be the tweet come up, I'm not sure. And she said, yeah, Jerry San Antonio. And she said this, is anyone able to help my friend Jeremy? My friend Jeremy. Through compassion and kindness, she called a man who had called her the rudest word that he could call her just a few tweets ago in her timeline. She called him her friend. That's what God does. That's what Jesus does. He's an expert at turning enemies into friends. And not only does Jesus turn enemies into friends, but he adopts them into his family as children and heirs. Unbelievable. We, church, we get to be part of this. We get to be part of God's family, and we get to call others into this new state of adoption and honor. Well, Sarah caused a real stir with her actions. And as you can imagine, in the comments section, never read the comments section, but in the comments section, people swung between, as they do, admiration and awe, and just, I can't believe she did that. That was fantastic. And of course, on the other side, there was the naysayers. And they said, but all he had to do was call a woman a nasty name, and all of a sudden, he's getting his back fixed. And they said, he doesn't deserve this grace or this compassion. And I totally agree. He does not deserve grace or compassion. And that's why it's called grace, obviously. That's the point. We know because we come to church, but grace is the free and unmerited favour of God. That's the point of it. The song is not ordinary grace, how sweet the sound. It's amazing grace. It's undeserved. Jeremy didn't deserve it, but he got it anyway. What about for us? We don't deserve the unmerited favour, the free and unmerited favour of God. We don't deserve to know the God who heals all our iniquities and heals all our diseases, but we get it anyway. We get it anyway because God is a God of grace who loves his enemies, and we've received that. We're once the enemies of God, but now we are his friends. He has reconciled us to himself. Not only that, he's made us his sons and daughters. So my challenge for us, church, is that we might walk in that we might be like God. Verse 48 says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, we can try. And we can try, and we can do it by loving people in the way that he teaches us to do. So let's be that. Let's be on the front foot. Let's not wait for American comedians with a filthy sense of humor to show us the way. Let's show them the way, huh? So I'm going to pray. And after I pray, the band, aka Lexi, is going to come up, and we're going to finish with some songs. And as always, there's always an opportunity to pray here for whatever's going on in your life. But a couple of things. So I'm going to ask, if you've got some sort of unacknowledged hurt that you need dealing with, and God's saying to you, it's that. And you know when God talks to you, when someone asks to come down to pray, you know when God's talking to you because your heart starts getting a bit thumpy and you start getting a bit sweaty and you're like, not me. Yeah, it's you, sorry. Or maybe you've got to let go of being right and let go of some offense so that you become more righteous. Maybe you want to know this God who turns enemies into friends. We would love to talk to you about that. Maybe you've got something else you're dealing with and you haven't heard a word I've said, and that's totally fine too. We would love to pray with you on anything. But let me pray as Lexi comes up, and then we'll worship some more. Father, thank you so much, Lord God, that you are a good and a mighty God. Thank you, Jesus, that you said that we can love our enemies. And God, that was us. We were once far from you, but you called us by name and you called us into your kingdom and you call us your children and heirs. God, help us to be more like you. Help change our hearts, God, to be like you. Help us to be righteous. Help us to be like our Heavenly Father, to be perfect as you are perfect, even though that seems impossible. God, I pray for each person here tonight that as they go into this week, they'll be blessed and they will draw closer to you and be more like you. For your name's sake. Amen.